Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together by praising Him. Well, the hymn that we're going to be learning this week is the hymn, Give Me Jesus. It goes, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. The reason we feel this is so important is because this quarter we are learning about Jesus and how important Jesus is to us. And we want Jesus to go with us every single day, don't we? I know I do. This song was made popular by the Fisk Jubilee Singers. They were a group of 12 musicians, and they would travel around the country giving concerts. The goal of their first concert was to raise $20,000. To some, today, that may not seem like a lot of money, but this was back in the 1800s, right after the Civil War. They had an African-American school near Nashville, Tennessee, and so they went on their concert tour to raise money for this school. They sang all over, in Europe and in America. They sang in concert halls. They even sang for the President of the United States and the Queen of England. Wow! Would you be a little nervous if you were singing for the Queen of England? I know I would. Do you know how much they raised on that tour? Over $100,000. They were the first group that carried the Negro spirituals, the songs that the African-American slaves would sing about their release and about heaven and about the freedom that they wanted and hoped to find. So this song has a lot of meaning, and I hope you enjoy learning it with us.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you may have all this world, give me Jesus, just about the break of day, just about the break of day.
Let's open with prayer, asking Jesus to be with us. Dear Lord, we need your Spirit today as we open the Bible and as we learn more about you. Come into our hearts. Amen. Hello, boys and girls. I am so glad that you joined me again today. Last week, we learned about the Good Samaritan, didn't we? If you missed it, you can go back and listen to previous episodes, and you'll want to do that. This week's lesson is about a family who shared their home with Jesus, and it's such a neat story, and there's a lot of lessons for us to learn, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Was Satan trying every way he could to stop Jesus from freeing us from the terrible power of sin? Yes, he was. Satan knew that if he could make Jesus disobey the Ten Commandments, only one, just one, only once in his entire life, then it would spoil the wonderful plan that God gave to save us, and we would be forever lost. But you know what? Jesus didn't mess up. He didn't sin even once in one little way. But from the time Jesus was born, Satan was doing his best to get him to disobey his parents, to be impatient, to do a miracle for himself, or anything else that was wrong. He wanted Jesus to exert his divine authority. In other words, to work in some powerful way to help himself. But that wasn't Jesus' plan, was it? And that wasn't what Jesus did. Well, it was really hard for people to believe that Jesus was the Messiah they had been expecting for so long. He came in a way that they were not expecting, in a way that they weren't taught that he would come. Satan had put wrong ideas into their minds about what the Messiah would be like and what he would do. Satan tricked people into thinking that the prophecies about Jesus' second coming was really about his first coming. And so they were expecting a coming conqueror, somebody to come and break the power of the Romans, to help set them free, and to live and reign in a glorious way. But that wasn't Jesus' mission the first time, was it? Oh, no. You know, Jesus could do powerful things that only God could do. But many people wondered, well, how can he really be God? He's a man. And he didn't come the way that we are expecting him to come. And they were very confused. The priests and the rulers had chosen to believe that Jesus was not God's son. They even said that his miracles were done by the power of, guess who? You get to read it. So let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. Matthew chapter 12. The Bible's divided into two parts. Do you remember the two parts? The Old Testament and the New Testament. You're right. Matthew is the very first book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those are the first four books. Matthew's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew, then we're going to go to chapter 12. So look for those big numbers. The numbers are going to go through the different chapters. And then when you get to 12, then look for the little tiny numbers that say verse 22 through 24. All right, we're going to read this. If you want to read in your Bible and follow right along, go ahead. But let's hear what Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. So we're going to read 22, 23, and 24 and find out who the Pharisees said that Jesus was doing his power by.
Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons."
You know, as people listened to Jesus and they saw his wonderful miracles, many did believe that he was the Messiah. They fully believed that he was the one who was sent by God and would forgive them for all of their sins. But you know what? There were many who still did not believe. When even Jesus' disciples sometimes doubted that he was the Messiah, it made him sad. And not only did some of his disciples sometimes wonder if he was really the Messiah, even his mother, Mary, wondered if it was right for him to disobey the rabbis and to not do what they taught. And although she did know that he was the Son of God, everything was happening very differently than the way that she had been taught. She was like, this isn't what everyone says is supposed to happen. Is he really the Messiah? But do you know who Jesus' best friend was? It was his heavenly Father. Because Jesus was human, he was often very lonely. He longed to be with other humans who he knew truly loved and trusted and believed in him. Have you ever met anybody that's lonely? You know, there are many reasons why people are lonely. Jesus was lonely because he was God, and yet he was human. And so those who were human couldn't necessarily always understand or get what his mission was. And so sometimes that caused him to be lonely because he had to be very careful what he said and what he did. Sometimes people are lonely because they've lost somebody close to them, maybe a grandfather or a grandmother or a mom or a dad or a sibling. Other people are lonely because they've moved. I've moved quite a few times in the last few years, and every time I move, it takes a while to get to know people, to make new friends, to not feel so lonely. Health challenges can also make you feel lonely. Right now, we're experiencing a pandemic with COVID-19. And so if somebody were to test positive for COVID, they would have to remain isolated. That means away from everybody else so that they don't give them that disease. And after several weeks of that, you can feel really lonely. Some parents feel lonely when their kids move out of the house. And all of a sudden, they look around, they're like, wait, what do we do now? Other people are lonely because they might be in a nursing home and their family doesn't come to see them very often, or maybe they live a long ways away. Sometimes people are lonely because nobody wants to spend time with them because they're different. Do you know anybody like that? That's a big list of people who are lonely, isn't it? And I'm sure that out of that list, you can think of somebody that you know who might be lonely. Talk to one of the adults in your house and find somebody who you think might be lonely. Somebody who's struggling with feeling alone or depressed. And I want you to go and do something for them, or even better yet, if you're able to, do something with them. Then they won't be as lonely. You know, that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to look for ways that we can help to make people happy. It might be a smile at somebody. It might be a card that you make. It might be a small gift or an activity that you do together, like gardening or cooking or just some way to spend some time with somebody who's lonely. And you know what? That's going to brighten up their day. And that's just what Jesus would do. So let's pray before we go that Jesus will help us to be a ray of sunshine to people who are lonely. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us, Lord, this week to look for those who might be lonely or need a friend, and that we can be that friend to them. Thank you so much for sending Jesus, who did experience loneliness and knows exactly how we feel when we're lonely, but he also wants us to help others to not feel lonely. Thank you for his example. Come into our hearts today. We love you, Jesus. Amen. All right, we have a new memory verse this week. Do you know what it is? One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her, Luke 10:42. Now, we believe that it's easier to memorize verses if we have it in song. So that's what we're doing. We are going to learn a memory verse song that goes right along with our lesson. So go ahead and maybe today, because it's new, you just want to listen. But as we go through the week, start trying to sing along. And by the end of the week, you're going to know it by heart. So let's go ahead and let's sing our memory verse.
One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen a good part, which will not be taken away from her. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.
The Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.